It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
John chapter 19 is one of those sections of scriptures that really brings joy to my heart, because I know that Jesus died for me. And of course, he didn't remain in the grave. And we're going to read that. That brings even more joy to my heart, because I know he's alive today. In chapter 19, I don't have joy by reading that Jesus suffered so much. That doesn't bring me joy. And I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross of Calvary, and that does bring me joy. Well, I'd like to look back now on verse 35 of John chapter 19. Remember, we looked last time and we saw where a scripture had been fulfilled in the Old Testament. And verse 35 says, "And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." Let me remind you that the person who saw this and said this and saw that no bone was broken and everything, that person did not write the Bible. That person is not going about trying to fulfill the Bible. That person does not do anything to make sure that the Bible is fulfilled. The person who says and does certain things, and then the Bible says that the scripture could be fulfilled, that person was an instrument of God. God knew that person was going to do that before it ever took place, hundreds of years, in this case, before it ever happened. Now, God does not force anybody to do anything. God simply allows it, and God simply knows what's going to happen in the future. He knew hundreds of years ago that Jesus Christ was going to go to the cross. In fact, the Bible tells us that it was even before the foundation of the world that Jesus would come into the world, that God knew, that God had made plans for Jesus to come into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. And that old song, I may have mentioned this before, that old song that says that God searched through heaven to find one who could come to the earth and save mankind. Well, God didn't have to search through heaven to find out someone who could come, a Savior who could come. He knew the Savior was going to be his Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. But we see here in verse 36, it says, "For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." Well, where is that found in the Old Testament? Well, I've asked you, if you would, to look these things up, and you need to do this so you can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you where this is found. It talks about the bones not being broken. And of course, we know that this is speaking of the Passover lamb. As we look in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 46, it says, "In one house shall it be eaten, this is the lamb. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof." And then in Numbers chapter 9 and verse 12, "They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it." And we ask ourselves, and someone would say, "Well, that's speaking of the Passover lamb. That's speaking entirely of something different." No, it isn't. It's a likeness of what would take place on this cross, on the cross of Calvary, on the cross that Jesus was hanging on, that not a bone of his would be broken. And we know this is speaking of him because we go to 1 Corinthians 5:7, and it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." Notice, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." The Passover lamb, no bone would be broken. The Passover lamb for us who know Jesus as Savior, the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, no bone would be broken. Why? That the scriptures could be fulfilled. And that's what we read of in verse 36 here. Now notice in verse 37 of John chapter 19, "And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced." Well, we know that there were Jews standing about, and there were people standing about as Jesus was crucified. They looked upon him. They saw him. They saw him hanging on the cross, and many of them saw him die on the cross of Calvary. They looked upon the one whom they had pierced. These would be the Jewish people. But notice this. We read in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, this is an Old Testament prophecy. It says, And I will pour upon the house of David, this is God speaking, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. We see two different aspects of this in the verse that I just read. We see those who would look upon Christ, the ones who had pierced him, the ones who said, crucify him, crucify him. We see there the scribes and Pharisees, crucify him, crucify him. We see the people saying this, the Jewish people. But there were also other people who stood by, who mourned for him. It says, as one mourneth for his only son, they would be in bitterness for him. In other words, they would look upon the Lord Jesus Christ and they would have pity. These were the people who did not crucify him, who did not want him crucified, but these would be those people who had believed upon him, and they trusted him. They knew that he was the Savior. And then we read again in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6, it says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Well, these people that we read of in Zechariah, they would look upon him. They would look upon the one whom was pierced, who was pierced. And in other words, Jesus Christ, he was pierced, he was killed. And this is something that we go back and we read about the soldier who put the spear in his side and stuck him after he was dead, and forthwith came out blood and water. He was already dead, of course, but it was a wound. And the wounds that we're looking at in Zechariah 13:6, those are the wounds in his hands. And we look at the ones up in Zechariah 12:10, we see those who looked upon him, they saw him die, and then many of them saw him pierced with that sword in his side, with the spear, I should say, in his side. But these are people we're reading about here in Zechariah. This is when Jesus will come back, and you'll need to get into this, and you need to study this. If I could impress upon you, I want to impress upon you the importance of studying Scripture. And this is how Jesus would come back and touch down on the Mount of Olives. And the Jewish people at that time, they will receive him as the Messiah. And they're going to ask him, Zechariah 13:6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? These are the nail prints, in other words, that's in his hands. Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. This would be the Jewish people, where he was born into the house of the Jewish nation. But these people will look upon him, and they will trust him as Lord and Savior at that time, because they will know that he's the one who hung on the cross, and that everything that he had said to them before he went to the cross was absolutely true. And I believe at that time that they will have a contrite spirit, and they will be sorry for what they did to the Lord. But at the same time, they will be rejoicing because their Messiah had come. So we see a fulfillment of prophecy, verse 37. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And I believe this will be those Jewish people who said in the book of Acts we read of, and they said, let his blood be upon us. These would be the Jewish people who had turned their back on the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Scripture was fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled, no matter what man does to try to stop it. Verse 38, John chapter 19. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus, and took the body of Jesus Christ. In other words, he took him down, and he was going to take him and bury him. Well, we look at this man, Joseph of Arimathea. It says that he was a secret disciple or a person who had kept secret that he was a follower of Jesus Christ, a one who had trusted him as Savior. You know, we often wonder, are there people in this world who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior that we don't even realize? I believe there are. I believe there's people who really have gotten saved and they keep it a secret. Well, that doesn't make it right, but there are some who keep it a secret. And many times those of us who are willing to go and tell others about Jesus Christ, we sort of look down our nose at those individuals who keep secret. In other words, it doesn't seem they want to let anybody know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. And many times we look at an individual and we say, that person cannot be saved because they are not telling others about Jesus Christ. Well, my question to you is, have you always told people about Jesus Christ? If you haven't, does that make you unsaved? The Bible tells us that we shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord, but the Bible tells us that and teaches us that if we do not tell others about Jesus Christ, that does not mean we're lost and on our way to hell. We got saved. We trusted Him as Lord and Savior. We're on our way to heaven. We have eternal life. So that person that you and I may say, I don't see how they could be saved. We may have that question, but it's not up to us. Jesus Christ is the judge. The Word of God is the judge. The Word of God is the one who saves. The living Word of God is Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. The secret Christian, we'll call the secret Christian, may not be doing what we think that Christian should be doing. And of course, if they're not witnessing for the Lord, they're not doing what they should be doing, but that does not make them unsaved. That person, if they've trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're as saved as we are. The person who gets saved just before the breath of life leaves them, they're as saved as you and I. They're going to heaven just like you and I because they've trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, the Bible teaches us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy that He has saved us. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I as Christians, we need to be reminded of those verses. We need to take to heart that we have been saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've become children of God because we've had faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just as that person who is not doing what we think they should be doing has done, they have trusted Jesus Christ just like you and I. Are they saved? If they've trusted Jesus, they are saved as you and I. Now, God loves you today, and He wants you as a Christian to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants you to uphold those individuals who have trusted Him. Because one day we're going to be together in heaven. We're going to be there. You may not believe exactly like your brother or sister believes in Christ. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven, and so are we. So we should pray for each other and pray that God would use each of us for His honor and glory. I'm not telling you to stand up for sin, not to give in to sin, not to condone sin. I'm telling you that you need to stand up for God and pray for your brothers and sisters who have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't know who that would be. Well, you need to pray and you need to say, Lord, help my brothers and my sisters who have named You as Savior. May You help them to stand true and stand for You. And Lord, thank You that they're saved and they're on their way to heaven because they have trusted You like I have as my Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.